How do you have time?
I always have time for
we
you guys.
We tried to Come go. On. It took us like 8 months to get out for one beer.
Yeah.
This is a miracle. Brad Treliving joins us for a nice little hour here in studio. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it's a little, nothing going on this morning.
No, quiet, hey. Yeah, so yeah.
We thought we'd come in.
I was, because when Berkey goes off, and that's what you're kind of joking about, we don't need to talk about it, but everyone's like, is he, so like, what do you, I'm like, he's Berkey.
Yeah.
Like, he's Berkey. He's kind of a cartoon character, but that sounds dismissive, and it sounds like he deserves respect, but I think he knows he's part of the show, you know, like he's in on the stand-up bit.
Yeah. Brian's a real passionate guy, as we all know. I wasn't there yesterday. I think he got into an exchange.
Yeah.
And Berkey's never one to back down from an argument or a fight. But I think at the end of the day, I think everybody understands the, where the energy and the calories need to be put towards right now is finding a resolution that works for everyone. And I think that's what the plan will be.
You, not only you're not new to the player personnel and that sort of thing, but this is the first kind of an expansion draft mm-hmm. thing that you're going through and through a lot of the GMs are going through. Do you think you've figured out every possible angle, turn, curve that between trades or protecting, or I'll talk to this team, you leave them for Vegas, then I'll talk to Vegas and tell them to trade them to me? Like, how many different ways are there to cut the apple here?
Well, you're right. It seems you walk through one door and there's three others waiting on the other side. The interesting thing is a few things. I think everybody initially would say, I guess first things first, there's 20 some odd teams that, we put in a bucket of don't have expansion problems. And that would be one of us. Now, then you separate those teams that don't necessarily have expansion issues, but aren't a team that can add. You know, we're not a team that can sit here. I shouldn't say that. We're looking at different ways, but us adding a player right now would create an issue where it would change your protection list.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's just put it that way. So you're giving assets, you're adding a player. Now you've got to either leave him unprotected or leave somebody that would be on your protection list unprotected. So there's that issue. And then there's 20 of us in that boat. Then there's a bunch of teams that either have room to add players, or in a position where they've got protection issues. And I think where Vegas is spending a lot of their time is with those teams, to be perfectly honest with you right now. But the thought that teams, and we've talked ad nauseum to them all, the thought that a team is just going to give a player away, we've got a, you know, you've heard a bunch of the different names, you know, for a seventh round pick in 2024, it really isn't, that's not reality. And the other interesting thing, in looking at teams that may have more than one player, so they may have five defensemen, or they've got, you know, two forward issues or a forward and a defenseman and a goaltender, you know, what they're saying is, look, I say I've got five defensemen. I go and trade you a defenseman for some future considerations. Guess what? I still have four. I could lose two.
Yeah.
You know, so I could end up from five to three. Do I just bite my lip and everybody's going to lose a team and I get some cap space back and go from there? So it's a long way of answering. There's going to be moves made. We're trying.
But ideally for you, you don't want to do anything before the draft.
You can't really do a whole lot before the draft. And we'll see.
The
expansion draft. We'll see. I mean, we're at the end of the day, you weigh everything. And, but I also, we're spending a lot of time looking at exactly what we think is going to be available when those lists come out. Okay. Now we talk about if you were to take him. There's also, which people aren't maybe aware of, I think the league is trying to predict and plan for every eventuality, and the parking of players is something that is not going to be permitted. For instance, you know, boom, I trade Ryan a player that just to get around the expansion draft, then he trades him to you, and we use him as sort of a a flow through. Those types of deals are prohibited. So it's there's a lot of moving parts. It's been interesting. I think Kelly and or George and Kelly have been real busy in Vegas, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
And again, people, I think it's because there are so many wrinkles. Teams can lose one player.
Yeah. And you're going to lose a player. Yeah. So the idea that we're going to cover this and say, you're going to lose a player. Mm-hmm. And then we move on.
Has it made what I think is already becoming a pretty interesting month in June, where we saw some massive deals before the draft the last couple of years? Is it, how much busier is it because of this? I can imagine there's a lot of teams trying to get work done.
Yeah. I mean, it's the usual stuff, right? I mean, there's lots of talk. What I would say is the combine for me was a little bit unique in the sense that, you know, you go through the player stuff and the stuff you're dealing with and the meetings with the prospects. But right from day one, we go in on Sunday, and you're there a week. The managers were there. Like Monday morning, I met with, you know, three managers. I spent most of the time meeting with managers where you'd see them and you'd have the conversation in the past, but not to the extent that the attendance was to the level it was and the type of conversations you're having. So it's busy. It's busy in the sense that everybody's trying to make themselves better. You've got this expansion draft and you've got some activity that's going to take place. So conversations pick up for sure.
Yeah, because there will be some teams that will, the urgency is to get a trade done before Vegas picks.
Yeah.
And a team like you is probably, well, we're looking to do something, but we'd rather not do it now unless it makes sense, because then we have to leave another one unprotected.
Exactly.
How was Buffalo? What do you feel like? Obviously, you scout all year and you've seen guys even before their draft year. Has it changed much, or does it more solidify what you probably already knew?
Yeah, you know what, Ryan? I think it's a great – I like the combine. It gives you a little sense to spend some time with the player. What I find, the more years you're as a – the more time you spend as a manager, the less you see the players and the less you know the players. I remember going when I would be scouting a hell of a lot more than I was now, where you know everybody. Now it's sort of, you know, you're going through our lists. I sit through our meetings and I know the top guys, but you get deeper in the draft and it's great for me to put faces to the names. The league does a real good job with it. Having said all that, to me, you got to be very careful with the combine. You spend a year, 2 years, the scouts do, scouting these players, you know, really defining their attributes, getting them in order. And then, you know, the guy comes in and either has a good 10-minute interview, a bad 10-minute, he jumps a little bit higher than you thought he might, or a little less. You got to be very careful of how that affects the, you know, the overall evaluation. At the end of the day, you're picking hockey players, and I think it's important to get to tie all the pieces together, and like I said, get a little sense of these kids. What's amazing for me, and I think we probably interviewed 90 kids over the course of the week. You can count on one hand when the kid leaves, you say, oh, you know, not a good kid, a bad interview. These they're mature. They're, you know, they're in front of the spotlight at a young age. They're, you know, 17, 18 years old. I was figuring out how to walk and chew gum at the same time. These kids are pretty mature, put together young men.
Brad Schliving here in studio. He is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. I would guess now. Again, I don't know why. I'm just so fascinated by the Vegas thing. There's so much that there's things you will know. Obviously, potential trades and wrinkles and things that you can do, but there'll be so much left to the process. How confident are you? Because Vegas has done their mock drafts, and they talk about all of that. Have you done mock drafts for Vegas? Mm-hmm. Like, have you put yourself in Vegas's shoes and gone through different variations to see how that shakes out?
I think we've done three. We did one early on. See, the thing that is interesting about it too, it's not as easy as saying, okay, let's go draw. Here's all the lists. I mean, we've had our projected lists for all the other teams for, you know, really we've updated on a monthly basis throughout the year. But it's not as easy to say, let's just go draft 30 players, because there's certain criteria that they have to meet that in terms of positional, you know, there's minimums and maximums of positional needs. There's X amount that they have to spend from the cap. 60% of the cap is needs to be spent in the draft here. Restrictions on RFAs and all that. So as we've gone through it, our last one was right during just before our pro meetings here last month. And it's interesting. What the takeaway for me, if you say, okay, what is Vegas going to look like? And you don't know, you know, you don't know what's going to, what lists are going to be here and what deals may be done beforehand. But I think on balance, they're going to have a wide range of goaltenders available for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to end up with some defensemen. You know?
And I wanted to ask you, there's a player you're going to lose ultimately, but what do you foresee maybe having the greatest impact on your team? Losing a player or finding someone via Vegas?
Yeah, well, listen, you never like to lose a player, but the reality is, and we all know you are, that's reality. You'll find a way to replace or fill in or change. You have change every year. So we look at this as trying to, how do we capitalize on an opportunity here? Either during the process we're going through right now to see if there's something that's going to spit itself loose for us once the lists become available. And then subsequently after that, I think there's going to be lots of opportunities. All the players that Vegas has drafted, not all of them are going to play for Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be opportunities. At the end of the day, what they're trying to, and I think their viewpoint, and it's the correct viewpoint, is it's not so much an expansion draft as it's an accumulation of assets. And whether they can, and future assets for them, whether that be picks, prospects. So how do we now leverage ourselves and looking at, we think, potential players that could be available, potential players that we'd like to see if there's a chance for us to get through Vegas. And so to getting back to that point, I think there's going to be, they're going to get some defensemen. They're going to get some good defensemen. They're hard to find in this league. They're going to have some, probably some four, fives, and sixes in terms of the guys they get there. I think center ice is such a premium position. I think it's going to be hard. You know, there'll be some centers there, but probably some flawed at that position. And then I think there's going to be some wingers. There's maybe going to be, depending on their appetite for taking back a contract or two, I think that there's going to be some higher salaries on the wings. But I think when you look at it, Vegas is going to come out of here both with some decent players in terms of building a competitive team, but more so there's going to be some people here that they can turn and use to collect, whether it be picks for this year or future years.
So for you, no second, no third round pick, correct?
Mm, correct.
Does that make your first more valuable? Or if there's a deal to be made to help right now, do you look at that as, we'll move our first?
Yeah.
Are you more bullish on keeping it, or does that really impact it because you have no second or third?
Well, the way we look at it with our second and third is we had, in terms of the timing when they happened, we felt we needed to solidify our defense down the stretch. We felt we had a chance to make in the playoffs. We see what the Nationals done now. Once you get in, who knows? I didn't feel we had any sort of chance. We didn't solidify our defense. So we used the third to get Michael Stone. I thought he helped our team greatly down the stretch and getting into the playoffs. I don't think we'd get in without that deal. The second I look at it here is we moved the second for Curtis Lazar. I still look at that, 3 weeks from now when we get to the draft and the 40 some odd pick comes along, I'd put Curtis Lazar ahead of that pick at this time. So although those picks aren't here, there's an asset, especially for the second. We'll see what happens with Mike Stone. It makes the first valuable. They're always valuable.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, would I trade it for something now? The something depends on what the something now is. For any time you'd use a pick like that, the something now, sure, come in and help you, but it can't be something that the now is going to be the next 82 games and that's it. Now, is it something that can come in here and help us now and be part of our group moving forward? You look at everything. Somebody asked me the other day, the move up scenarios, it's difficult. When you're without a second or third, those types of scenarios are difficult. A move down scenarios are something that we're looking at. We're excited right now, depending on and as we've modeled it out, the potential players that could be there for 16. I think we're going to get a good player at 16. So if I was to crystal ball it, I think we're picking at 16. But we got lots of time between now and the draft.
This draft class is kind of taking a beating, and I suppose when you see, you know, McDavid and Eichel and Matthews and Laine fall off the board 1-2 the last few years, it might not be that good. But is 16 similar to what a normal 16 is, or is it sort of difficult to measure one class against the other that
yeah,
way?
Yeah, I think it's always difficult, Ryan. Like, okay, we've seen the generational player here the last couple of years. Is there that level of player? Probably not, but the high end of this draft is still good. There's good players. I like to refer to it, it's a tighter draft. And what I mean by that is the guy, when you're at 20, time will tell, but 15 to 20, you may be getting looking at the same player at 35 to 50.
Really?
So time will always tell. As we've talked to our staff, you hear the draft's not this, the draft's not that. Well, I can guarantee you, looking back a year, two, 3 years from now, players are going to come out of this draft. So our job's to find them. I think what you're looking at 16 is this is, you know, our hope and our plan is to continue to be a playoff team where you're picking later each year. I think that there's some real opportunity potentially to take. There's going to be it's not going to be a perfect player at 16, but there might be some opportunities to take some swings for people with real high ceilings. Now, they could be flawed as we're sitting here when they're 17 and 18 years old, but there's some risk-reward picks there that we're sort of playing with, but I think we're going to get a good player. Compared to the 16s in the past, we'll see, but it's deep enough, depending on how things flow, that I think we could get I think and believe strongly if we stay there, we're going to get a real good player.
Brad Treliving here with us in studio. Now, if I ask you about Ovechkin, is that tampering?
Yeah.
If I ask you, what number is he going to wear when he gets here? You can talk about that, right?
Well, I can't talk about other players. I saw something... out there a few days ago, and I didn't know if you guys maybe spent too long at Tootsie's or whoever was covering the finals was, you can't do a 36-hour shift at Tootsie's and then start tweeting trade rumors. So yeah, that's probably the extent of that one.
Can we speak maybe to the credibility of Russian reporters? That's the question.
Yeah, when the
ask.
Reports come out of Russia, you always kind of...
Anything from Belarus is probably should be taken with a...
the brakes. Now, that said, you probably made that call, though, right? Because you call on everybody.
Yeah.
Of course
you
made that call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I won't back you in the corner. But you made the call, obviously. You make a call on everybody.
I talked to everybody.
You talked to everybody.
Lots of friends.
Yeah. Who is going to be your goalie? Again, we're doing this?
We're 33 minutes in, and
I figured I'd soften you up with a few body shots first.
Long runway to get into that one.
Because, I mean, this is what, 2 or 3 off seasons in a row, right?
Yeah, it would be
more
nice.
More or less?
I'll be honest with you. It'd be nice to not have to
since you got
look
here.
At it on the to-do list each year. But, you know, and again, you look back and... a lot has been said since we've been done about the goaltending. The long and short of it is, I think, as an organization, we strengthened our goaltending last year. And really the results spoke for themselves. Now, having said that, we were starting at the back of the pack here. So
right.
There was one way to go. But I think, both Brian and Chad had, as we've talked about, you know, at length during and after the season, they both had great stretches throughout the year. They had stretches where their play dipped, but on the whole, our goaltending was improved. We moved to 14th or 16th in some categories. We were top half of the team in goaltending. Both coming into it, both guys were free agent or on expiring contracts, we wanted to see how things went. So we're in the position. I haven't ruled out anything with the goaltending. I think with a lot, and you see why there's been a little bit of limited at this time signings right now, is people are still looking at all the opportunities, options. We spent some time talking about the expansion draft, how that affects everything. But we haven't closed the door on any options relative to our goaltending. And if both of the guys that we had back last year happen to return. I think those are possibilities as well. I know that the way things ended, and Brian would be the first to tell you, it didn't go the way he'd want it to go,
sure,
or we wanted to go in the playoffs. But there was a lot of good hockey played by both those players throughout the regular season, and without them, were the way that the season had started, we are not talking about playoff participation without Brian. But we're continuing to look and see what how's the best way that we can address it for next year.
Just regarding Brian Elliott, some clarity. There's a pick attached to him that hasn't been figured out, or at least I haven't figured it out, a third rounder for next year. Now, is that if you trade his negotiating rights? Is that if you sign him before July 1? What if you sign him after July 1? Can you explain that?
Yeah, if Brian was to return here next year, the way it's written up is it would be a third-round pick. So signed prior to the season, or if we were to move him. So
either or.
Either or. Attaches a price, so it's a bit of a consideration. There's an asset attached to that, but yeah, that's the way that deal is structured.
It's so funny how the year went. If you finished four, you go from 30, and it's like if we just give us decent goaltending, and then you get it, and you're a playoff team. The optics of how the season went, I think, hurt both of those guys. Even though they both got hot, if they would have been more consistent, have the same wins, same save percentage, all of that, it'd be like, oh, well, now we're up to 14th. Look at that. You know, Johnson doesn't take a dump, and Elliott doesn't go for a stretch where he can't stop things. And if that playoff, if you get swept in four, but he doesn't, you know, get exposed like he did, I just wonder what the appetite would be from the fans. Because I feel like, obviously, after games 3 and 4, it was like, well, we're done with this guy. We can't bring him back. And I kind of felt that way. I still kind of feel that way. What's his appetite to return?
Yeah, he'd have a strong appetite to return.
Okay.
And I get the emotional piece. I mean, trust me, there's emotion, but you can't. That's why I say it many times. Poor decisions are made when you're not thinking clearly and when you're acting on emotions. So we'll see how everything plays out. Like I said, there's lots of you can probably venture to say that this is where we've spent the large majority of our time, and we'll see where we get to in the coming days and weeks here. But
take those two out of the equation. Sorry, because I'm cutting you off. Take those two out of the equation. Of the names, and there's a bunch of them, of the names that are out there, have rumored, well, either they're going to Vegas and then available, or they're going to be left unprotected, or whatever.
Free agents, yeah.
Of those, the free agents or guys in that group that we keep hearing over and over again, is there anything in there that would be like, yeah, I can see him being a good fit for us?
We see all those players right now are contracted to other teams, and those contracts run until June 30th. So again, at the risk of,
I'm not looking for a name. I'm just wondering, is there even one out there? It's like, if things go the way we'd like them to,
sure,
that's the guy we want.
Sure. We've done some modeling, and we've done some ranking, and we've done some profiling that we think, could be fits here. There's money that all plays into a part. There's some that, you know, there's free agents. When we talked about Brian's situation, there's free agents that you've got money, and then you've got cost of acquisition. So and like I said, you've got protection lists and expansion drafts that all play into a part. So no stone has been left unturned, we'll put it that way, and we'll see how this sorts itself out.
How comfortable would you be if you sign one goaltender? Do you feel like someone would be ready to be a backup in the NHL yet from your within the system?
Yeah, could they come up here and play? Sure. Is that the best thing for them? Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I think if you look at John Gillies, and there's been lots of talk, you know, the storyline around Calgary with goaltending is, okay, we got to, you know, obviously they need to address the goaltending situation, but they've got all the kids coming, and that's true. And we really like the young players we have coming. But I'm also real careful not to just jam them in and run them in and stick them into the league, because if not prepared, if not ready, you can do more harm than that way. Do I envision a situation where they're able to get some games? And who knows? Somebody can come into camp and grab a hold of it. I still believe the guys that we have outside of the NHL need time to play and play games on a regular basis. But could somebody come up and we're hopeful. You're hopeful at every camp that you're going to get a surprise. And both, if you look at David Rittich, John Gillies had strong years down there. Tyler Persons, I would say that it's a strong likelihood he'll turn pro this year. We'll see how things play at camp. But yeah, you'd always love to have a surprise and somebody grab it.
You do have a ton of guys. How the heck you fit these guys all in? You had to sign Tom Colum as well to meet the expansion criteria. I would imagine the way Parsons played in the O, he's ready for pro hockey. And then Schneider, McDonald as well. That's six goalies for four spots you've got really organizationally in terms of the A and the East Coast League?
Well, if you go through it, some of this will play out. We want to just see where everybody's at. I mean, the biggest thing for us isn't as much outside of the outside of the NHL. You've got American League net and the East Coast League is an important league for goaltenders, quite frankly, because you want them getting starts. And I think in some cases it's better for a kid if he's ready in terms of Parsons maybe to get starts at that level than going back to the OHL. But again, we'll see. But no question, we've got a lot of bodies. Nick Schneider will be playing junior this year. Thomas McCollum, we wanted to add depth to the position, but it also checked a box for us relative to the expansion draft. But Thomas McCollum, there's another guy who there wasn't enough room in Stockton for him. We ended up loaning him to Charlotte. And
great.
I think he was the goaltender of the month at one point. So, trust me, it's a luxury to have. We want to make sure that we've got spots for everybody, but I've gone through years where you don't have enough. So having some depth at the position gives us a little bit of ammunition, not only from strength at the position, but if we need to, not every team has that type of depth. So it's an asset for us.
Golf game. Maybe he's not paying attention. Who knows?
The fan feedback line is open, of course, 960-960. Brad Living is here in studio. Are you having fun at this time of year? Do you enjoy between Vegas draft, the expansion, or the entry draft, which we don't call entry draft anymore, free agency? Like, is this an enjoyable time? Is it fun? Is it stressful?
Yeah, it's all of the above.
Right? This is what you do. You like this, right?
Yeah, this is, I always say, once you get through the cleanup of the year and the getting into the building piece, which we're firmly in now, is mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. You try to get creative of how you can make yourself better. So trying to build the team and make your team better is the job. And so that's what we've been locked in. So this is a fun time of the year.
Any word on Chris Versteeg? Versteeg had a pretty good year for you based on how it kind of all came together at the 11th hour.
Yeah, no question. I've been in touch with his – I had a long talk with Chris at the end of the year, and then I've been in touch with his – I talked to his representative the other day. We'd like to have Chris back. We haven't made any bones about that. It's just trying – right now, it's like anything else. It's trying to find something that works for him. I have told him we've got some priorities in terms of – our goaltending, our blue line right mm-hmm. now, that we're trying to figure out what those are and what those costs are. But we intend to continue to talk to Chris and see if there's something there that fits for everybody.
Would you bring back Iggy?
We get this every day, by the way. This isn't just because you're here.
Would you bring back Iggy? Listen,
he's
tampering.
It's a trick question.
We'd have to get to free agency where his contract's expired before we can talk about
this. All righty. What is your favorite beer?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't have a lot of, I don't really send a lot back. So I would, there's a lot tied for first.
Cold one.
Yeah, right? Cold.
Yeah.
What might the chances be that the Flames would use an offer sheet?
It's an interesting question. everybody thinks it's the idea of people poo-pooing offer sheets is just because of the reality is they seldom work. I mean, to do something like that, the only reason you would get into something like that is to get the player. And there is, you know, there's some stink that that comes with doing one of those. So if you're prepared to go into that marketplace, realize what happens. You now have left yourself vulnerable to be a target. Having said all that, I do envision a day that they're going to become more and more
popular.
It's going to be a more popular practice. And the reason I say that is we're getting to a stage where the unrestricted free agency is becoming less. There's less players getting there. There's
less high-end players,
less
right?
Players getting there at the stage of their career where they're, you know, whether they're mid or late 30s. So you've got a flat cap to use your money effectively. You're still trying to look at players, younger players that are in their sort of in their prime. So I can envision where we could see more offer sheets in the future versus what we see maybe, you know, on a regular basis now. But again, the difficulty is anytime you've got a good player at that age and you're going to sign that player. So all you're really doing is they become inflationary tools that the team is going to re-sign anyhow. Mm-hmm. And you leave yourself susceptible to having people look at you as a target too. But having said all that, I think there could be a time where those are they're used more readily than they are now.
Thoughts on Mark Jankowski?
Mark had a really good year, and I think he could have been easily the rookie of the year in that league. In my mind, he was. He was leaned on in every situation. It was a real good year for Mark. My comment to him at the end of the year in our meeting was, to me, his summer is going to determine and his attitude is going to determine where he plays next year. I think he's the guy who's going to probably that can put Mark Jankowski in the league or put him back in the American League next year is Mark Jankowski. And that's dependent on the work he does this summer. So was really happy with him. Played in all situations, had an excellent playoff, although they were eliminated in five games. I'm excited to see what he's going to look like in camp. I know he's going to be digging in this summer, but he's got that's knocking on the door for me. They're ready to grab a spot here.
Thoughts on the player and contract status of Michael Ferland?
Well, I think Michael's a unique...
You won't want to pump his tires too big and cost yourself money.
Michael's a unique player. We all know that. The challenge for Michael, and we see it at times, how dominant, quite frankly, he can be. And he's one of those few guys that combines the size, skill. What's underrated with Michael is his skill. He's a skilled guy. He's got an excellent shot. He's got skilled hands.
We saw that come last year. Like when he kind of had his breakout there 2 years ago, it was just because he was thundering Bieksa.
Exactly.
But we saw that shot numerous times.
Well, and he's got quick hands. Like he's a quick twitch guy. The challenge for Michael has been consistency. We'll get a contract done with him. He's got arbitration rights. So, at nothing else, if we're not able to, you know, I assume that they will, they'll file on their end. So we'll see. But Michael, I look at Michael as a real, a unique player that can have a real impact for us. I'm excited. He's another guy that's really got to continue to find a way to dig in this summer, because I still think he's scratching the surface of what he can attain. But he's going to be he's an important player for us, and we'll work hard to get a contract done.
Get us up to speed with Adam Olish-Matson and what is it, Rushan Rafikov? Those are guys that can go back into the draft if they're not signed in the next few weeks. Is that correct?
No.
I'm incorrect there.
Yeah, no, that's incorrect. Those we retain their rights right now for Rafikov. He's a defected player.
Okay.
So really, we maintain his rights for. At this time in perpetuity, as a Russian player, Adam Olish-Matson, we maintain his rights for one more year. He came and joined the Stockton team at the end of the year. We're talking with with his agent right now. We'd like him to continue his development in North America. But he'll either be playing, you know, in North America with us next year or would return to Sweden. And at that point, if we don't sign him, we retain his rights till next June.
Somebody kind of asking about, and I know it'd be different always. How does a trade get started? Do you ask directly for the price? Do you offer a package? Do you lowball and then move? How do you approach a team? How do you finesse starting a trade?
Well, people think 100 different ways. You know, a trade may start as just, you know, we've done deals here where really the origin of the trade was me being at a rink or seeing a manager and having a coffee and just talking. The idea what you're trying to do is you know your team and you know sort of your strengths and weaknesses. The job is to make sure you know the other teams as much as you can and what their strength, what they need.
Yeah,
you know, that's the, you know, you know, if a team needs a defense or they're looking for a fourth line center or a third line left wing or somebody to help kill penalties, the job is to make sure that you're digging for the information for what teams need, and then you're always looking for matches. Ultimately, so there could be a slow brew with these things where a conversation just happens, and I've seen deals take weeks and months and years, quite frankly. At this time of the year where you've got specific needs, it's just that. It's calling up a team and talking about what you're – as much as you're trying to find out about them, they're trying to find out about you. And I think – I've always respected guys with a direct approach. There will be some guys that him and Ha and the dance seems to go on forever, and you don't end up accomplishing much. But if you're mm-hmm. direct and talk about what your needs are, what you're prepared to do, usually sooner than later, or more often than not, the conversations move along.
Just a couple last quick hitters because I know you got to run. How many times have you made a player decision based solely on the Fan 960 Morning Show?
Oh,
because we give out a lot of advice, and we know that you take your
your
lead.
It's probably a shorter list to say how many deals we don't do.
True,
based right. on there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. What was the other one here? What do you eat at Boston Pizza?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot Come of those.
On. It's all over.
That's yours, isn't it?
No, it's all over here, and it's very...
The Boston Brute?
If I don't ask, you'll be like, oh, you too.
Hawaiian.
Yeah?
Yeah. Pizza. It's called Hawaiian. Pizza.
Fruit on a pizza? What are you talking about?
Oh, it's the best!
Are you kidding me?
Fruit?
Yeah.
Pineapples are unbelievable.
Do you split your wiener? Is the wiener wider?
Oh, you always have to split it, yeah.
It's a wider wiener,
yeah,
right?
100%.
Perfect. Canned ham? You like canned ham?
No, that's... Who eats candy?
I don't know. It's disgusting.
Munson's from Lethbridge.
Seriously.
Thank you for your time. We'll stop pestering you. Is there anything else you wanted to share? Like, do you have a deal done or a trade that you want to announce? Or
no. Yeah. No. Nothing
yet.
Dean Holberg announced his AGM.
Yeah. Yeah. No. If you need us to slide by, I mean, I got nothing but time.
I know your guys are always. Quick with
you know what the other one, sorry to interrupt, where was it, somebody was asking about Pinder. What was the most aggravated you've been by Pinder? What was one instance where
worst
Pindering that has come your way? Well, when you've been listening,
no, like Pinder's sort of like the capex, like he's very,
I'm your capologist,
he's very capologist, yeah. Very, you know, very cap friendly,
yeah.
I did think Painter was going to have a stroke there when Cap Geek got sent down or shut down there.
Oh, so I just find another website.
I know he was a little bit nervous there, but yeah. No, he's.
I'm nothing without that website, Brad.
Exactly. That's our numbers.
With that's right.
Pony.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay, guys. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you.
Brad, you're living.